Morning, church. Morning, Larry. How are you? How's everybody this morning? Happy Memorial Day weekend. We want to honor our military and certainly those who have lost their lives in the military. If you are here this morning and you have lost a loved one in our serving our military, I invite you to stand if you don't mind, where we can recognize you and say thank you. Several. God bless you guys. Thank you. You can go ahead and sit down. I want to honor those who have served and those who have lost their lives serving, but also we want to lift high the name of Jesus. So let's pray. Father, you are the God of comfort. There may even be some that still grieve deeply for loss. You are the Prince of Peace. And Jesus, I love you. You said, come to me if you're weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. You're that kind of a God. You weep with us. You embrace us. So, Lord, we just pray for all that to happen this morning. And while we sit in your lap and let you embrace us, we also, God, we lift high the name above every name, Jesus. And we exalt your holy name. We pray that you'd send your spirit and do work in us today in this place. May you be glorified. We pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll rise, if you're able, let's worship.
Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come forward and join Miss Teresa.
Today. There's lots of things you can do with the balloon. Has anyone ever played any games with the balloons? What game have you played? Keepy-uppy. One where you keep it in the air, right, and you don't let it hit the ground. Volleyball with it? Sure. There's some I know where you like put it on your leg and you're stomping, trying to stomp the balloons. So there's all sorts of games. And then there's the long balloons, and you can take those and twist those up and make balloon animals. Kind of all sorts of things you can do with balloons. Well, today, with my balloon, I'm going to help us hopefully understand what it means that today is Pentecost. Does anyone know what Pentecost is? I'll tell you. It's the day God sent down the Holy Spirit to his believers. So I'm going to use this balloon, but it's lacking something. What's it lacking? Can you play picky-uppy with this?
Yeah.
What's it missing?
Air.
It's missing air. Someone needs to blow some life into this balloon. There's not much to it. And that is exactly the way it was before the Holy Spirit with God's people. They were, at the time, Peter and his disciples were scared, and they were staying in a room in Jerusalem, and they weren't going out and telling about Jesus at all. They were just kind of staying there. But then on Pentecost Day, the Holy Spirit came down and blew air in. Matter of fact, I'm going to read out of Acts 2 where it says that the Holy Spirit came with a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire resting on each believer, was resting on each believer. So the Holy Spirit came down and filled these people. So Peter and his disciples, who weren't telling about Jesus before, Peter stood right up and he started preaching and telling people about Jesus, saying Jesus was the Messiah, that he came, that he died, he was crucified, died, buried, rose 3 days later, and he's telling people and people are listening. And because the Holy Spirit came down and was entering the believers, they were able to start talking to each other, even though they were speaking different languages from different nations and countries. They could understand each other. They could understand God's word. And the more people who knew, the more they could tell. And it expanded and grew till, do you know how many people believed that day? 3,000 people were baptized on that day to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and he had died for their sins. And that is how the church started. All the people who were believers received the Holy Spirit. They were no longer like that balloon that I started with. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were eager to tell others about Jesus being the Messiah, the Savior, the one that we seek as the Son of God and ask for forgiveness for. And as soon as they became believers, and as soon as we become believers and we become baptized, the Holy Spirit enters us even today, and we become a part of God's church, one body, each and every one of us. And it's all done through the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. We thank you for giving your Holy Spirit to all who believe in Jesus and for breathing life into the church. In your most holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go on out.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online as well. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. You know, if you believe that, say amen one more time. Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. That precious Holy Spirit, our pastor is going to preach about this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday. And I don't know if I could use more of the Holy Spirit or he could use more of me. I don't know which one, but I need that in my life. I need that in my life. A couple things on the calendar. Tomorrow being Memorial Day, our church office will be closed, and we will not have prayer time here at church. Encourage people to pray at their homes during the noon hour. And then Vacation Bible School starts in 3 weeks. There's still opportunities to sign up kids and also opportunities to sign up as a servant. You can do that through the insert in your bulletin or through the app or through our website. Morning, Tripp. Is he coming to VBS? Okay, he may be a little young, so, all right. Well, this morning is Michael Wilkins' last Sunday with us. He is moving to Midland in a couple of weeks, and so where did he go? Michael's left the building. Well, maybe he'll be back. So we were going to pray over him. So let me move on to the next thing then. If he comes back in, we'll catch him and pray for him before the service is over. So tomorrow is Memorial Day, and we want to honor and remember those who have lost their lives in service to our nation. Just a brief history of Memorial Day. After the Civil War, 1868, there was a day of dedication for those who lost their lives during that war. That continued over several different conflicts. And then after World War I, they established a day in which all service members who had lost their lives serving our nation were honored. And then it became a federal holiday in 1971, the last Monday in May. And so Jeff had those who had lost a loved one recognized earlier. And so I want to pray for those people along with everybody else that's maybe has someone in the military now that I want to pray for safety and peace. I want to thank the Lord for the freedoms that we have. And I'm going to do that, and we're going to pray for Michael afterwards. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. As I pray, I want to encourage you to go ahead and just intercede as well. So, Lord, I just thank you for the freedoms that we have. I just thank you for the freedom we have this morning to say, Jesus, you are Lord in public. And a lot of people groups around the world, they just don't have that luxury. And I just thank you for the underground church that more than likely is making a larger impact than the church that's exposed. And so, Lord, would you continue to bless them as they pursue you? But again, Father, I'm just so grateful for the freedoms that I have personally and that we have. And I think sometimes we just take that for granted. So would you help us, Lord, just to be more aware, more cognizant of the preciousness of the freedom that we have. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to worship you, freedom to serve you, freedom to declare you are who you say you are. And Lord, I want to lift up those families this morning of those who have lost loved ones due to conflict, God. I just pray blessings on them this day. God, I pray for peace for them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and just rub up against them and just let them know that they're not forgotten. And Jesus, you yourself, you said in the Sermon on the Mount that you have a heart for the peacemakers. You said, blessed be those peacemakers. So, Lord, I just pray that you comfort those families today. Lord, I pray for those fathers, those mothers, those husbands and wives and children and grandchildren as they think back about their loss. And none of it was a wasted effort. Just bless them, Father. God, I pray for our military that's active today and those who have retired. God, I pray for protection for them. I pray for the protection for our servants in the Middle East. Lord, watch over them, guide them. I pray for peace to rest in that region. Lord, bring them home safely. God, and I pray for peace for our nation. Father, I pray for wisdom for our nation, wisdom for our leadership. Not an earthly demonic wisdom, but a heavenly spiritual wisdom. I pray it rest on the leadership of our nation. Oh, you're so, so good to us, so, so kind. And I thank you again for those who have given their lives for the cause of peace, have given their lives for the cause of freedom. And we love you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Mike, would you come up, please? Jeff's going to pray over Mike. And if you want to come lay hands on him and we want to send him out of here. Headed to Midland to live with some friends and excited about the next part of his journey.
If you'll pray with me. Father, it's with glad but heavy hearts, Father, that we say goodbye to Michael. Father, I'm so thankful for this body of believers that I believe has loved him well. Father, I pray that you would provide in Midland, you will provide a church body and people that will love him well. Father, I pray for a church family. I pray for friendships. I pray, God, for blessings on him. I pray health on him. Father, I know he spends a lot of time hurting. Father, would you ease his pain? Would you heal his body? Would you go before him? Go with him? Spirit, would you, as we'll talk about this morning, would you intercede on his behalf to the Father? We love Michael. I know you love Michael. I know he loves you back. So, Lord, we just pray blessings and peace and well-being and health for Michael in the days to come. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. If the Lord prompts your heart to give this morning, you can give electronically, and those instructions are on the screen. You can also give through the offering boxes at each entrance, exit. And if you need prayer this morning, we have some people that would love to pray with you. So seek them out. They'll be up at the front. You can catch me. You can catch our pastor. Catch somebody that you trust. And we want to bless you before you go out into the world and pursue the rest of your day. Let's stand, if you're able, and let's continue to worship the Lord in song.
All to Christ the King. Yeah.
Well, welcome again, church. Glad you're with us this morning. If you are our guest, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of His people. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but I'd love for you to bring that. I'll be at this end of the foyer, have a free gift for our guests. Would love to meet you, greet you, and get to know you a little bit. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Now, this is Christ has been resurrected. He's appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and He has revealed Himself to them, and these two told the rest of the disciples that they had encountered Jesus, and then Jesus appeared back again. We're picking up in verse 44, Luke 24, 44. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit, You are indeed welcome here. We ask You to come and to speak to us, reveal to us, open our minds and our hearts to You, speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you remember the great Wintergeddon of 2021? How many of you lost power for a significant amount of time during that? Well over half the church. Well, Cheryl and I did. We lost power for about 2.5 days, I think. And we were, you know, I made sure Mom was okay and the family was okay. And we decided we'd just hunker down and we'd ride it out. And we pulled out every blanket we had in the house, and we had a fireplace that we tried burning, and it would burn, but it didn't have the blower, didn't have power, and it couldn't blow. So we were sitting in front of the fireplace. It wasn't putting out a lot of heat, and we were surviving. After about 2 days, this is a picture of me after about 2 days. Yeah. Okay, that's good. And after about 2 days, I looked at Cheryl and I said, "We had a friend who had power and had offered us, said, 'I've got an extra bedroom you guys can come stay at.'" And no. After 2 days, I looked at Cheryl and I said, "What are we doing here? Let's go where there's power." And we ended up making the trip there and warmed up, and then the crisis was over. You don't realize the importance of power until you don't have it. Yes? Today's message for this Pentecost Sunday, clothed with power. Clothed with power. So as has been mentioned, and I loved Teresa's children's message with the air in the balloon. There's lots of ways to try to illustrate the Holy Spirit, and none of them are totally adequate, but they give us a little glimpse. Pentecost Sunday, I was in my mid-30s, had been in church probably every Sunday of my life, and I didn't know even really what the Holy Spirit was. And that was nobody's fault but mine. I probably was just not listening. But Pentecost Sunday, the day that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in his believers. He didn't, the Pentecost is, it's not about, this is important, it's not about knowledge, more knowledge. He didn't send us more knowledge, that came with it, but it's not about knowledge, or it's not even really about religion. It's about power. Pentecost power. I don't know about y'all, but I need me some of that. Now I'm gonna run through 8 points this morning. Now, Charles, you gonna be able to hang with me? You good? You good? You're only gonna listen to the first four? Okay, that's all right. Now I told Billy, don't Billy, don't try this. It'd kill Billy if he tried to do 8 points. But the first service, just it was stone silence when I said that. I told Billy, I said, I think they thought I was being mean to you. But anyway, it was just a joke for y'all to know. Billy's quite capable of as many points as he wants to put out there. But we're going to run through this because there's so much that with the Holy Spirit, so much that the Holy Spirit has done and is important for us. So I'm going to hit it pretty quick. The first is the Holy Spirit is God. Are you listening? The Holy Spirit is God and was present even at creation. And even before creation. The Holy Spirit, please hear this, and I think I said this a few months ago in a different sermon. Please hear this. The Holy Spirit is not an it. Don't ever say, boy, the Holy Spirit was at church today. It was really active today. It's not an it. Holy Spirit is God. We believe, as Christians, we believe in the Trinity, in the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. In the beginning, Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, big S, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit was there at creation. Also, Jesus, although not flesh, and if anybody's mind is fixing to explode, you'll be with me. Jesus became flesh when he was born, but Jesus, if you read John chapter 1, Jesus was there at the beginning. He became flesh later, Emmanuel, but the Holy Spirit is God, and he was present at creation. Secondly, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The angel told Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So I said this, I think, 2 weeks ago, but it's important for us that we can't fully comprehend. You know, I read this week that a God that can be fully understand isn't God. Is this on? If we can fully, completely understand God, he's not God, and we don't really need him because we already got it figured out. But we can't fully comprehend God, but we understand that Jesus was fully man and fully God. Now, we can't completely wrap our minds around that. But I said a couple of weeks ago, it's important for us to understand that he was fully man because that gave him the capacity to sin, which he needed in order to overcome sin on our behalf. Is that making sense? Yeah, if you're out there, nod your head if you're with me. He didn't sin, but he had to have the capacity to sin in order to overcome sin on our behalf. But he also, in order to be holy and to indeed
forgive us of our sin, he had to be fully God. He was, Mary was the flesh side of that, the mankind side of that, and the Holy Spirit was the God side of that. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Number three, he received the Holy Spirit. You can use different words there, anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism. Luke chapter 3, when all the other people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. So there you have, this is a snapshot of the Trinity. There actually, you'll hear sometimes if you read enough different preachers, there's actually some that say the Trinity is not a biblical concept. Well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the Trinity's in the Bible, all over the Bible. And this is the snapshot of it right here. Jesus, Emmanuel, God made flesh. He's baptized. He comes up. The Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, descends upon him. And then a voice came from heaven. The Father steps in and said, "This is my Son. I'm well pleased with him." There it is. Jesus received the Holy Spirit. And then he was empowered by that Holy Spirit. At his ministry's getting ready to launch, he takes these 40 days in the wilderness, and there's where the human side comes in. If Jesus didn't have the capacity to sin, why was the devil messing with him? He was messing with him. He was trying to get him to fall so that he would not accomplish what he came to accomplish, our redemption. So Jesus goes to the desert for 40 days. And it says in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan after he was baptized. He was led by the Spirit into the desert. He didn't go into the desert alone. He had the Holy Spirit with him. And then the devil began to tempt him with all, he's even distorted with, you know, physical needs, but also distorting Scripture. And Jesus hit him with the Scripture, led by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit throughout his ministry. Number five, Jesus was empowered on the cross by the Spirit. The Spirit of God empowered Jesus to be able to endure the cross. Listen to Hebrews 9. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, big S, Holy Spirit, through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? So it was as Christ went to the cross to cleanse us from our sin, the Holy Spirit was there empowering him to go through that. Sixth thing, Jesus was resurrected by the power of the Spirit. It's almost like the Holy Spirit's important. You think? Jesus was resurrected by the power of the Spirit. Romans 8, if the Spirit of him who, Spirit, big S, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you and I, then who raised Christ from the dead, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, big S, who lives in you. The very same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus in the desert, empowered him and enabled him to go to the cross and to endure the cross, and then that very same Spirit raised him from the dead, that Spirit lives in us. Hello? Is that good news? Anybody? We don't understand the need and the importance of power until we don't have it. Yes? I need me some Holy Spirit. Seventh, Jesus in the Spirit intercede for us. I love this. Now,
I want you to, I'm going to skip forward just a second. Stephen, this is recorded in Acts as well. Stephen was an early believer, and he was the first martyr of the church. He was stoned for, you know, his great sin was he was sharing the gospel. They didn't like what he had to say. And they're stoning him. And now we know that Jesus, when he ascended back to the Father, he seated at the right hand of the Father. That's his current position. When Stephen, as he's being stoned for his faith, he forgives those who are stoning him, and he looks up and he sees, and it says he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I want you to picture this for a second. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He sees this servant who's literally giving his life for the gospel. And I wish I had a chair here. I'll just act like it. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He sees Stephen, what he's doing, and Jesus stands up in his honor. Is that not cool or what? I don't know. I just think he was proud of Stephen. I think he's proud of us when we take stands for him. And the Spirit intercedes, Jesus intercedes. Hear these scriptures, Romans 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Anybody ever feel weak when they're praying? We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. He intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Jesus, if Romans 8 also, Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So you've got the Holy Spirit living in us, interceding to the Father. You have Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us to the Father. That's a pretty good dynamic duo, don't you think? It says that the Spirit will intercede for us in accordance with God's will. And here's what a short example of, I think, how that applies in our lives. I've shared this before, but when I was transitioning from the computer days to ministry, there was, after several months, things were not happening, and our savings account was gone, and our house wouldn't sell. We were trying, just financial burdens and all. And out of fear, I took another computer job. I had left a very good job with all sorts of benefits and salary and all that, and out of fear that God wasn't moving as fast as I thought he needed to, I interviewed and got another computer job, went to work for a day, met everybody, it was fine. I came home and Cheryl said, "How was your day?" And I said, "It was fine, it was good." And she said, "Well, but you don't look like it was good. What's the deal?" And I said, this is a Greek word that y'all hang on to. It's really complicated. And I said, "I just feel yucky." It's a good Greek word. So I said, "I don't know, everything went fine, but I just feel yucky." And she said, "I've been feeling yucky." I don't know if she used that exact word. "I've been feeling that same way all day." I called my boss one day, and I resigned on the phone. And I said, "Look, I'm so sorry that I've put you to all this trouble, but I'd rather do this now. I know this is not right." I explained to him the situation. "I'd rather do this now than in 6 months after you've put a lot of money into training me and all that." So every time we pass that bank, I tell Cheryl, "I worked there for a day." It was actually several of their banks. But when the Spirit is in us and he's interceding for us, it says in accordance with God's will. Any decision you have to make, I don't care what that decision is, if it's personal, if it's marriage or family or job, or should I buy a new house or should we move, or any type of decision, if you pray and you ask the Lord, is this your heart for me? He'll tell you. You'll either have peace in the decision that you want to make, or you'll feel yucky. I'm sorry, that's the best I can do. Yucky is the best word I can come up with. When you don't feel that peace in your spirit, it's because the Holy Spirit's going, that's not my heart for you. That's not what I want for you. It's not God's will for you. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are interceding for us. Well, that's so good. I've said this before, but every week when I preach, as I'm preparing my sermon, I pray that Romans 8 passage. I don't read it. I just say it in my own words, like, Holy Spirit, intercede from me to the Father. Make my heart His heart. Whatever His heart is, that's what I want my heart. Whatever is His mind, I want that to be my mind. Whatever His will is, His words, that's what I want. I pray that every week. The Spirit intercedes for us. Number 8, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, and he ascended so we could receive power. Jesus says, I want you to place yourself there. So Jesus, he's been with them. He spent 3 years with the disciples. He's gone to the cross. He's been resurrected. They're joyful. He's back. He spent 40 days teaching and preaching and encouraging, restoring the disciples. He appeared to over 500. And then all of a sudden he says, oh, by the way, I got to go. Can you imagine the anxiousness of those disciples? I can just imagine them going, no, please don't go. But see, here's what Jesus said. It's for your good that I'm going away. Because if I didn't go away, the counselor will not come. Counselor meaning Holy Spirit. But if I go, I will send him to you. And notice he didn't say, I'll send it to you. I will send him to you. And not only will he be with you, but he will be in you. And then Acts chapter 2, he comes through on his promise. He sends the Holy Spirit. He inhabits the believers, and the church is launched. Before that, nothing was happening. The church is launched, and the disciples and the believers, they began to share the good news. They began to encourage one another. They began to love the poor and the underprivileged. They began to heal people. They brought people back from the dead. I may be just crazy. I think if we weren't so closed off scientifically, I think Jesus is still in the resurrection business. I'm talking about physical resurrection. I believe he can still do that today. But we're too smart for our own britches, I think. Jesus said, when you receive this power that I'm going to send you, this Holy Spirit that's going to live in you, you will receive power and you'll be my witnesses. I want you to go and utilize that. God, Peter's first sermon, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. If you'll read Peter's writings also in his letters, Peter says, we didn't make this stuff up. We were eyewitnesses. We saw him crucified, and the Romans don't take down live bodies. We saw them crucified. We saw him taken down off the cross. We saw his dead body put in a tomb, and then we saw him serving us breakfast 3 days later. And we saw him for 40 days as he taught us, encouraged us. We are all witnesses that Jesus is at the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he's poured out what you see and hear today. Man, church, I don't know if you've ever tried to walk it. It's walk without the Holy Spirit, without power. It's like the winter getting. It's like, man, you don't realize how much we need power till it's gone. The heat doesn't work. The lights don't work. We need power. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for us. Thank you for sending the promised Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for making your home in us. You're no longer bound to a place of brick and mortar. You live in us. We are walking temples for you, Holy Spirit. We are your ambassadors for a hurting world. And we're just humbled. Show us how to walk it out. Show us how to live in the power of the Holy Spirit that you provide. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close, the altar is always open. If you don't know that Jesus that loves you, and if you, I want to say one more thing about the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us, if you don't feel like, you know, Scripture tells us that our spirit testifies, or the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit that we're a child of God, that we're saved. If you don't feel that assurance, you may not have the Holy Spirit. And I would invite you, Scripture tells us, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you want the Holy Spirit, just ask. Just ask. So I would pray that you would use this time. Holy Spirit, if I don't have you, come. I'm inviting you in. If you'll rise if you're able as we close.
Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
through the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit that Jesus sent, we have been clothed with power. Church, and we're supposed to do something with that. We've been clothed with power. Go and tell someone. God bless you.
So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.